Our Old Testament text again, Isaiah chapter 32. Hear the word of God. Behold, a king will reign in righteousness, and princes will rule with justice. A man will be as a hiding place from the wind, and as a cover from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. The eyes of those who see will not be dim, and the ears of those who hear will listen. Also the heart of the rash will understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers will be ready to speak plainly. The foolish person will no longer be called generous, nor the miser said to be bountiful. For the foolish person will speak foolishness, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice ungodliness, to utter error against the Lord, to keep the hungry unsatisfied, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. Also the schemes of the schemer are evil. He devises wicked plans to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaks justice. But a generous man devises generous things, and by generosity he shall stand. Rise up, you women who are at ease. Hear my voice, you complacent daughters. Give ear to my speech. In a year and some days you will be troubled, you complacent women. For the vintage will fail, the gathering will not come. Tremble, you women who are at ease. Be troubled, you complacent ones. Strip yourselves, make yourselves bare, and gird sackcloth on your waists. People shall mourn upon their breasts for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine. On the land of my people will come up thorns and briars. Yes, on all the happy homes in the joyous city, because the palaces will be forsaken, the bustling city will be deserted, the forts and towers will become lairs forever, a joy of wild donkeys, a pasture of flocks, until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is counted as a forest. Then justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. The work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. My people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. Though hail comes down on the forest, and the city is brought low in humiliation. Blessed are you who sow beside all waters, who send out freely the feet of the ox and the donkey. Thus this reading from the Old Testament here, also from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Hebrews 1, 6 through 9. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Well, the topic this evening, the title is A Reign of Righteousness. And again, our text for exposition and application is Isaiah chapter 32. And that seems to be the theme here. Well, we learn in the opening verses that having been delivered, Zion is renewed in righteousness and justice. By the way, the church is called the Zion in the book of Hebrews, and so there certainly is an application here to the church of Jesus Christ, and how we need a renewal in righteousness and justice. Well, in this particular text, a new era begins, a reign of righteousness. Isaiah expresses this thought first positively, verses 1 through 4, and then negatively, verses 5 through 8. Well, we hear language like this, and we're naturally a little bit skeptical, aren't we? We hear politicians making promises that if you just elect them, things will get better, and there will be good that will come because of their tenure. And how many times we hear promises like that and then we're disappointed, aren't we? We elect this or that politician. Maybe he seems very promising at first when he makes all these promises. Maybe he seems very believable. Of course, we live in an age where television is such an influence and other visual means, and so it's very important that politicians today look good and have a good on-camera appearance and be believable. And they might be reading off of their teleprompter, and maybe saying all kinds of very grandiose claims and so forth. And we learn to be a bit skeptical, don't we? We learn to take everything that we hear with a grain of salt. Because politicians promise change and gullible voters believe them, but the new administration brings more of the same. Or, as we've seen recently in the Middle East, a dictator is forced to resign, but then another dictatorship takes its place. And are the people ever any better off than they were before? So the reign that is spoken of here in this particular chapter seems so much different, so unlike the kind of government that we on earth are generally used to. But notice these words in the beginning of the chapter. Behold, and that's Isaiah's way of getting our attention, behold, a king will reign in righteousness. It's not qualified at all. It doesn't say it will be mostly righteous and it will have some defects. It's just stated very categorically, a king will reign in righteousness. And of course, as Christians, we know that that king ultimately is Jesus Christ. And so this is a messianic prophecy. It's not as clearly a messianic prophecy, perhaps, as some of the other ones in Isaiah, but it has to be. And I hope just hearing the words from Hebrews chapter 1 would have convinced you of that. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. God has anointed his Son, Jesus. And anointed, I hope all of you know by now that the Hebrew word Messiah means anointed. The Greek word Christ means anointed. Jesus Christ is the anointed one. Clearly, it's speaking about Jesus Christ. This could not be speaking of any earthly king. Behold, a king will reign in righteousness. Because we have human leaders, whether they be in the church or in the state, and even good leaders, there are those defects in their reigns. Read through the historical books of the Old Testament and you can see that. Even a good king like Hezekiah, he did mostly good stuff, but there were some bad things that he did as well. There were some things that he left undone. Or think of a good king like David. And of course, he did many, many good things. And he's called the man after God's own heart. And yet, we were reading just this past week about how he was very cruel to some of the enemies that he defeated in battle. And of course, we have the incident with Bathsheba. So look at these words again. Could these words speak of anyone else than Jesus Christ? And I think we would have to say no, they cannot. Behold, a king will reign in righteousness. Well, this is looking forward to Messiah's reign. Ultimately that is fulfilled in the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there is a certain sense in which the New Testament teaches that he is reigning right now. We have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and we've been brought into the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the hymn very properly says, King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. We don't have to wait until the millennium comes in all of its fullness and fruitfulness in order to crown Jesus as the King of our lives. And we should do that. And it's the gospel that gives us the power to do that. It says in the book of 1 Corinthians that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the power of the Holy Spirit. And here this evening, Presumably all of us are regenerated. We give evidence of that. We give a testimony of our faith in Jesus Christ. We testify that He's washed away our sins, that we're trusting in Him. We give evidence that we love to worship Him. We love to come out and worship with His people. And so, as regenerated persons, we want to see Jesus reign in our lives. And it is good for us to remember He reigns in righteousness. And so even the difficult providences, even the difficulties that He brings into our lives, He's reigning righteously. He will make no mistakes. Whatever He chooses to do, even if our life ends in some tragic accident, our Lord reigns in righteousness. He makes no mistakes. So this is not talking about an earthly leader, and even the best leader is going to disappoint. In the church or in the state, there are no perfect men. Sometimes we wonder about that. We say that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only King and head of His church, and that He rules in His church by His Word and Spirit. We know those truths. And the elders of the church are given instructions as to how to carry out godly rule. But church leaders make mistakes. Sometimes they disappoint. Sometimes a church may be hoping for a new era to come in with a new pastor that takes over as the pastor of the church. And oftentimes, much good results from some kind of a change like that, but pastors will disappoint us. Well, here is the one that will never disappoint us. Behold, a king will reign in righteousness. Well, this is the reign of Christ. Only the Messiah, the Anointed One, can reign in righteousness. He's the one that tells us, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." Matthew 11 and verse 28. He would never misuse us. He would never abuse us in any way. We take His yoke upon us and we will never regret it. And so the elders of the church are also taught to not lord it over God's heritage, but be examples of the flock. And so here we have that in the Messianic kingdom, the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, that a king will reign in righteousness, and princes, plural, will rule with justice. And so here is then a new era in the Messianic kingdom. Well, again, just to summarize my thoughts on this particular verse, Isaiah is not talking about a government that is only partially righteous, but one that is completely righteous. And so the church prays, and we always do pray, "Thy kingdom come." Princes will rule with justice, it says. And of course, our Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament, He teaches, "You've been faithful over a few things, I'm going to make you ruler over many cities." And so as the kingdom of Jesus Christ increases, as it goes from strength to strength, as it encompasses the nations and encompasses the whole world, we can expect even more blessings from the Lord. Well, here are some of those blessings, verses 2 through 4. And these can be summarized as being instances where people follow God's law. A man will be as a hiding place from the wind. There will even be human leaders that we will be able to trust. And a cover from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place. We'll see more leaders like that. As the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. There's the source of the hymn. Oh, Jesus is the rock in a weary land. Jesus is the rock in a weary land, the shelter in the time of storm. There's the place. Jesus is the rock. And upon this rock I will build my church. Jesus Christ, not Peter, but Christ is the rock, and the confession in Him. Then it says, verse 3, "The eyes of those who see will not be dim, and the ears of those who hear will listen." I thought this was kind of interesting that this came in this text after hearing the exposition this morning of Psalm 40. And where it says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, and then it says, my ear have you opened. Well, only God can open up an ear. I heard a sermon, I'm not sure if it was a sermon or a whole worship service not too long ago. Oh, I remember what it was. It was actually a sermon of R.C. Sproul's. Did you know you can get podcasts from R.C. Sproul? You can download them onto your little MP3 player, and you can play them in the car or wherever. And I was listening to one of his program. Can't even remember what the program is called. Renewing Your Mind, it's called. And it contained a sermon of R.C. Sproul's that he had taught in his church in Florida. And at the very beginning of the sermon, after having read the scriptures, and just before beginning his sermon, he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He read the scriptures, and at the end of the reading of Scripture, he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Well, look that up sometime in a concordance. I think it occurs 15 times, maybe 20 times in the New Testament. It's an amazing statement, but only those who are given ears by the Holy Spirit of God can hear. The others cannot hear. Hearing, they hear and they do not understand, as the prophets tell us. But so here it says, the eyes of those who see will not be dim. There's a promise of a full vision, which should be an encouragement to all of us. Our eyes do grow dim as we get older. We need more and more light to be able to read and to be able to do cross stitch and needlepoint and that kind of thing. And then it says, the ears of those who hear will listen. And I think, even though it's talking about blessings that will occur in Messiah's kingdom, and I think that there's a physical aspect to the teaching here, I think it goes even deeper than that. And it's talking about spiritual sight. It's talking about spiritual hearing, which only God can give. And so it's a blessing from Him. Then it says, the heart of the rash will understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers will be ready to speak plainly. Boy, we need that, don't we? We oftentimes have rash people in our congregations that maybe say too much, say more than they ought to say. And then on the other extreme, there are those that are afraid to even open up their mouths. Maybe in Sunday school, the leader will say, do you have any thoughts on that lesson? And no, go on to the next person. I don't want to talk. But here it's talking about the rash person, the person that doesn't know when to shut up. And then it talks about the stammerer, the one that doesn't have words to say. And these are blessings from God as well. So those who have become confused will perceive knowledge, and the tongue of stammerers will utter things that are clear and distinct. And then verses 5 through 8, it says, the foolish person will no longer be called generous. Here is an instance of what the prophet says in another place. He says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And so the foolish person is not going to be able to have the reputation of generous. He's going to be identified as a foolish person in the kingdom. The miser will not be able to have a reputation as a bountiful person. And without getting too political, I think many of us would agree that since government has taken over generosity, diaconal work, people now have a reputation. I care about people, and so I can vote to have other people, namely the taxpayers, relieve them. And then they're called a generous politician. But that won't happen anymore. Those that are bountiful, those that are generous, will have to earn that reputation. And it says, the foolish person will speak foolishness. People will understand him for what he is. His heart will work iniquity to practice ungodliness. Nobody's going to say he's a godly person. He will earn his reputation. To utter error against the Lord. So here it's talking about, I believe, the millennial kingdom before the coming of Christ. And it is a mixed kingdom, as our Lord Jesus Christ taught. He said that there's going to be the wheat and the tares. Here's a destruction of the... I'm sorry, here is a pointing out of the tares in the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'm not going to take time to go through this line by line, and I'm going to skip that whole middle section, 9 through 11, about the women who are at ease. I'll just say this, that in the book of James, it has something very, very similar. It's calling God's people adulterers and adulteresses. And so we're just going to skip that for now. But I want to, move down let's go down to verse 14. It says, because the palaces will be forsaken, the bustling city will be deserted, the forts and towers will become lairs forever. In other words, dwelling place of animals rather than of people. A joy of wild donkeys, a pasture of flocks, until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high. And the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is counted as a forest. So here is a wonderful reference to the Spirit. Clearly, the translators are correct in capitalizing the S here on Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit of God. He's the one that brings... He's the one that causes life to abound, as it says in the psalm, and that's what we have happening right here. The Spirit then is poured out upon God's church from on high, and then the wilderness becomes a fruitful field. And many times churches serve for a long, long time, and there are few results. And then the Spirit pours out His blessing, and then service bears fruit. When the Spirit is poured out from on high, here's something we can pray for. Then we read in verse 16, justice will dwell in the wilderness and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. The work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Well, righteousness, that's an old Anglo-Saxon word. It actually came from... it's a corruption of an older word, right wiseness, being in a right relationship with God. This is what is spoken of in the New Testament. Jesus Christ is called the righteous, and He died for us, and His righteousness is imputed to us as our sins are imputed to Him. Here then is the result of the reign of Jesus Christ in His church. We began in verse 1 with the phrase, behold, a king will reign in righteousness. And now we see the fruits of that. The wilderness becomes a fruitful field. Justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. Several years ago, we had a missionary come to our church from Haiti. And he made a presentation. He had a video, he had some slides, and he showed. And I've used this before because it just made such an impression on me. But he showed these pictures of Haiti, and Haiti is on the same island with another country, the Dominican Republic. And the Dominican Republic is a very beautiful country with a lot of natural resources and that sort of thing. There's a sharp dividing line. If you look on a map, I think it's actually straight. So it's a political division between the Dominican Republic part of the island. I think the island is Hispaniola. I may be wrong on that, but I think that's the name. And then there's the political division, and then you go to the Haiti side, and if you were to fly over it, it doesn't look like Haiti has very many natural resources. It looks like kind of a wasteland. And the missionary who came here mentioned how, because of voodoo, and I'm just going to say this, I don't despise Haitians, not at all. I love them. I want to see them come into the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. But frankly, they've lived under spiritual darkness for a couple of centuries now. And because of that, They have a present orientation. They have a consumption orientation. They don't have any sense, or many of them do not have any sense of providing for the future. And so the missionary came to this church and he made the point that a Haitian will cut down a tree to use it for fuel today, giving little thought to the fact that if he doesn't cut it down, then that tree will give fruit to his family for years to come. And so there's been deforestation in Haiti. And the difference between the Dominican Republic side of that island and the Haiti side of that island is just an amazing thing. Well, here then is fruitfulness that comes as a result of right thinking, a result of godly attitudes, and as a result of the Spirit of God taking over people's hearts and minds and bringing fruitfulness not just in the physical realm but also in the spiritual realm as well. And so we read these wonderful words, "Then justice will dwell in the wilderness and righteousness remain in the fruitful field." We can pray, "Lord, do this in Haiti, how much they need it. Do it. Bring people to Christ in Haiti." And our hearts leap for joy when we hear how there are little churches on the island of La Gonâve that want to form a presbytery. They're little indigenous churches meeting in grass huts sometimes, and yet they want to organize a church that will be a witness for Christ in that land that has seen so much poverty, so much superstition, so much ignorance, so much idolatry, and now they want to have a beachhead for Jesus Christ. They want to see people coming to Christ. They want to see lives transformed. They want to see people developing their agriculture and preparing for the future. And here's the picture that we see here in Isaiah chapter 32. The work of righteousness will be peace. And Haiti needs peace. They have a presidential election and 80 candidates for president, and then the president can't even govern. But the work of righteousness will be peace as Christ's kingdom takes over the Gentiles' nations. The effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. By the way, we are to have assurance of our salvation as well. Sometimes we wait for a long time to get that. Sometimes the tempter comes and he plants doubts in our minds. But the effect of righteousness is quietness. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the effect of righteousness is quietness, peace with God, and assurance forever. My people will dwell in a peaceful habitation in secure dwellings. They won't have to worry about whether their dwelling will be invaded by a thief or a robber. And then it says, and in quiet resting places, though hail comes down on the forest, God's people will dwell then in their quiet and peaceful and secure habitation. Well, here then is the reign of righteousness. And so we can pray, Lord, bring this to pass. You have said a king will reign in righteousness. And here's what we pray when we pray the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord has taught us to pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we can pray, Lord, bring it to pass. Bring it to pass in our day. It's always biblical to pray that. And of course, the fulfillment of that will depend on the Lord's timing. Well, let's go to the Lord now in prayer. Lord, we do want to see the fruition of this wonderful prophecy. A king will reign in righteousness. Lord, we want to see the reign of King Jesus increase, Thy kingdom spread from shore to shore, from pole to pole. We want to see that, Lord, till unbelief is wiped out, until superstition and false worship disappear from the face of the earth, till all the nations acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Lord, thank you for giving us this wonderful promise and keeping it before us. Help us not to become weary in well-doing. Help us not to faint. Help us not to give up hope. Help us to know, Lord, that you are accomplishing your purpose. In the meantime, Lord, help us each one to be in submission to that King, that one who has come and died for us, who has communicated to us his perfect righteousness. Lord, I pray that our lives would more and more reflect the Spirit's work. Make our lives fruitful. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.